Joel, for that introduction. I also want to thank Fred Borland and Daniel Stevenson with this presentation. They were crucial in getting the data, especially the plant mapping data. I try to pawn as much of that off on Fred as I can, because he's a plant breeder and he has a big crew that can do it. And Daniel analyzed the data for me, so that was doubly good. So I appreciate their help in this study. This is a Cotton Incorporated funded study. Our state appropriations Cotton Incorporated board was interested in some of the new technologies and planters and things that and pickers that were coming out to look at different row spacings and seeding rates within those. So this brings me to my first slide. Why planting pattern? Why is it important to keep beating a dead horse, I guess, in the Mid-South? There's been a lot of research in the past dealing with different row patterns from 30 all the way up to 40 inches, skip row. There's all different kind of configurations across the Mississippi Delta. And there's not one specifically right answer. It's just depending on who's farming it and how their farm is set up, their operation is set up. Ultra narrow rows, as was mentioned earlier, came in back in the early 90s, I guess, and kind of left for the most part fairly quickly. However, we don't have a lot of information on 7.5 twin rows on wide row, at least for cotton. And they've done a lot of work with beans and corn with these new planters that can plant twins on wide rows, and that kind of brings me to my justification. Our crop mix, especially in the Arkansas Delta as well as the Delta of many other states, has changed. And we have a lot of farmers growing cotton, corn, and soybeans, and these days a lot more corn and soybeans than cotton. So they ask me all the time, is there any way I can cut back on my equipment and use one planter for everything? And these planters definitely are not cheap, so we're trying to find different ways that we can cooperate with the soybean and the corn acres as far as using the similar equipment. They all, growers and producers in our state, always want an edge. If something new comes out, they want to know how it works, if it's worth the money for it. The biggest thing is the planting expense. In cotton now, one of our highest budget line items is seed and tech feed. And of course, the equipment to do it. So it's important for us to find the most economical and profitable situation with this new technology. And that's kind of what spurred this study. And I'm going to go ahead and move into some materials and methods again. This is going to be a planting pattern or row configuration pattern by seeding rate. What we did is we were set up on standard 38-inch rows. And we planted a single 38-inch row on top of those beds. We planted, we used a monosyn planter, planted 27.5-inch rows on those beds. And then a twin row 15-inch on top of a 38-inch spacing. And we looked at seeding rates varying from 35,000 all the way up to 75,000. So what do these configurations look like? This is just a cartoon here to show you that. Again, single 38-inch rows, pretty simple. 38-inch bed, row down the middle. When you look at 7.5-inch rows, of course, those twin rows are going to kind of be straddling the middle of that bed. And you're going to have somewhere around a 30-inch middle in between your cotton plants there. On the twin 15-inch row, similar situation. The difference is the middle is a lot narrower, and as we got into management of the plots, that became a problem for us as managing those narrow rows on that because our equipment wasn't set up for it. This study was located at the Northeast Research Extension Center in Kaiser, as well as the Lawnman Cotton Branch Research Station in Marianna. We had two soil types. Silt loam soil at Marianna. We planted the same variety at both locations, Stone 4554. At Kaiser, we had the clay soil, and again, we used the 4554 Stoneville variety. Now, we initially planted these tests about the end of April, but we had a wet, cool spring. We had a lot of pounding rain, and even our high populations didn't make it out of the ground. So we had to come in, restructure and replant, and we did that about the end of May. So we got an excellent stand a second time. I'll go on that in a minute. This is the equipment we used. We were able to set up a John Deere vacuum planter to do both standard 38-inch rows and twin 15s on top of those beds, and then we used the monosyn vacuum planter for the twin 7.5s. The data that we took out of this study, a lot of data, stand counts, heights, note above white flower. Fred did a lot of the cotton map data for us, took a lot of that data for us for plant structure and yield components. Of course, we looked at lint yield and fiber quality. And I didn't put a slide in for our management practices, but we manage basically like we would manage cotton in Arkansas, based off extension recommendations. Both of these studies, both of these sites were fur irrigated, so we had plenty of water available. Getting into some of the cotton map data that we take, or the plant mapping data, we looked at first fruiting nodes, number of monopodial and sympodial branches, so on and so forth, plant height, internode length, total number of nodes. Several different things to look at the characteristics of the way the plant was growing in these different systems, and also how it was fruiting, the yield variables. Total number of bowls, percent of those total bowls in first and second position, percent retention, and the sum of some of these. So I'm going to get into some of that data here in a second. The first I want to talk about is plant survival. Now, this study was conducted in 2007, like I said before, and in 2008. In 2007, we didn't have a very good stand. Daniel told me they had some planter problems there, so they didn't get quite the stand they were looking for. But in 2008, because we planted later, we got an excellent stand at both locations. You can see Kaiser is a little bit lower there, but it's not significantly lower. When we look at seeding rate, however, when we average it across locations, we did see some significant differences with the higher seeding rates, whereas we're getting close to 100% survival in all the others. 65 and 75,000 were only around 70%. And you can see in our overall actual population, that means those treatments are not going to be that different than the 55,000 seeding rate. So keep that in mind as we look through the data. Basically, no differences in planting pattern and seeding rate were found in plant height, which really surprised me. I think when we average a lot of this data together, we may lose some aspects of it. We didn't have any interactions there. So. We didn't see any significant differences in plant height, note above white flower, internode lengths, turnout or lint percent, or fiber quality. So I'm just going to kind of skip through that. You can see the ranges at the bottom. There was a range, but it was not significantly different. Plant structure, number of sympodial or number of fruiting branches. And we had a location by row spacing interaction for that. Kaiser and Mariana really. The only one that was significantly different was a 7.5-inch twin row on top of those 38-inch beds at Mariana. Again, that's on a silt loam soil. When we looked at seeding rate across locations, we saw more fruiting branches with that lower seeding rate, which we would probably expect there. None of the others were significantly different. Number of monopodial branches. We didn't see any difference in seeding rate or row spacing with the number of vegetative branches. We did have a small range, but again, it was not significant. 1 to 2 on average, sometimes a little more than 2, but again, no difference there. Okay, moving into some of the yield variables. Again, this is 35,000 to 75,000 seed population per acre, and we have it broken out in the different various row spacings there. We have a low LSD, so there's a lot of differences in this table, but you can see a general trend. The total number of bowls per plant decreasing as our seeding rate increased, which again we would suspect. The one that really stood out was the number of bowls on average that were on the twin 7.5-inch rows with the lower seeding rate. So that was significant and higher than any of the others. We looked at percentage of that total fruit per position. And again, breaking out here by first position of the percent of total on the left. There it is. And the second position, fruit on the right. Total, this is percent of total fruit that was counted. And there's some differences on the left, but you look at my scale and it's not, it's overall it's not that high of a percent difference. It is significant. On second position, again, the data's kind of back and forth there. We saw a significant difference between 35,000 and 75,000. Population on the second position fruit. Again, we suspect that. Number of high sympodium with the bowl in the first position. Not much when we looked at it over row spacing. There is some differences there, but we're talking about one node to a little less than one node. When we looked at it over seeding rate, Basically the same thing, maybe a little more than one note, and then once you move up to 45 over to 75,000, not much difference as far as highest opponent with bowling in the first position. Fruit retention based on position. Again, breaking out the first position, bowl retention on the left-hand side here, and then second position on the right-hand side. 35,000, we had a lot higher retention at that lower seating rate, both in the first and second position. And you can kind of see the trend as the seating rate increased, the trend goes down in retention there. Yield variables, again, percent retention of the first and second position on the first five symposium. That's basically the area I'm talking about there on the plant. Same trend that we've seen before, higher on 35,000, lower on 75,000. Moving into lint yield. Now, we didn't see any significant differences in lint yield at all, okay? We did see a few trends, and a lot of these trends have been backed up by previous data in our state and other states. But on a Kaiser clay soil, the trend is as we move those rows in from 38 inches, we're going to see a higher yield. And vice versa, on a silt loam soil, what we call our better cotton ground, we usually don't see much difference in any seeding rate. And most of the time, the narrow row is actually low. You know, there's a reason we've been growing cotton on 38-inch rows in the Delta for a long time, and it seems to still be holding up that can still work fine. Stone will 45-54 lint yield. This is breaking out by soil type again, but over seeding rate. And as you can see, as we increase seeding rate on the clay soil, once again, we see a trend to increase yield. No statistical differences here on the silt loam soil. What's so frustrating about doing seeding rate studies on a good cotton ground is if you get a good stand, that low seeding rate is going to be just as good as anything else. And, you know, it's hard to show that to a room full of producers and try to tell them they need to plant more seed. But getting the stand is obviously the main concern with that. And if we could get a stand every time 100% at 35,000 seed, I'd say do it. Can we do it every time? I don't know. I doubt it. But when we look at the seeding rates, or excuse me, the row spacing over seeding rates, I wanted to see if there was any trend at all of among each seeding rate, which one or which seeding rate gave us the best advantage in each row spacing. The yellow line there, our standard 38-inch rows, again, there's really not a trend there. It's back and forth. You know, it's hard to tell anything from that. Again, there's no differences here, but you look at the 7.5-inch twin rows, you can kind of see a slight increase there as we increase seeding rate, which we have seen this in other studies, and the 15-inch as well. I think this is a little outlier here on the 35,000 seeding rate on 15 inches, but you can see a general trend after that of increasing yield. So some conclusions for 2008. We got excellent stands with our lower seeding rates, and because of that, I think they performed better than they would if we didn't get as good of a germination percentage. We didn't see any differences in heights or any note above white flower, note number, yield, lint percent, or fiber quality. But again, I was kind of on a mission to see, well, if I have to switch to 7.5, can I still grow good cotton on the 38-inch bed? Twin 15-inch cotton, I think it's going to be better for our mixed soil ground, our clay soil ground. One other note, that if you try to do this on a 38-inch bed, you're going to drive yourself crazy because the planter will fall off every time. And if you really need a 40-inch bed minimum. I worked with some guys on farm that did it on 40s and was able to do it okay. But on 38, it's just too narrow for a twin 15-inch cotton planter. Twin 7.5 performed pretty similar to the 38-inch cotton, and I've got some concerns. I think we can grow a good crop like that, but I think we can get good yields. But harvest efficiency is going to become a problem, depending on how your picker is set up. And I had good intentions of coming behind my crew after they picked it and take some efficiency ratings and just how well they did pick the cotton off the stalk. But they were ready to go home for Thanksgiving and shredded them before I could get there. So I hope to do that next year. But, you know, in that, since seating is so expensive for us, in that 7.5-inch situation, if we have to increase our seating rate, it may cost us more money to planning and to plan it, and I don't know how that's going to move into our profitability. So we're going to continue to look at this in 2009, and I look forward to getting all the data together and seeing what 3 years will give us. Again, I want to thank Cotton Incorporated for our state support group for funding this project, and the cooperators that helped me with it. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time. A standard, the question was on the twin 7.5-inch, will the standard picker pick it? And the answer is yes. What we used was one of the newer John Deere Pro 12 VRS pickers that you can do 15. But we picked the standard 38-inch rows and the 7.5-inch rows with the 38-inch setting on that picker. I think you can do it. I think you're going to have to set the picker right. If you're in real tall cotton for one reason or another and it got rank on you, you may have some issues. And I've seen it on farm where producers have tried it and it didn't pick as clean as they would have liked. And that is, like I said, one of my main concerns. But I think maybe tweaking the picker, if you've got a conventional head on your picker, it'll be fine. If it's not an inline head, if it's a conventional head, which I know not many run those anymore, but it'll be a fine job.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Okay.